Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we are just going to spend time on Ukraine. Just the three of us talking about how we feel. I want to give a little primer before we do that. We're really going to talk from two perspectives. One, how we're feeling is what we're going to do first. And then second, how the troops are feeling and what families and people across the world are kind of saying about what's going on. That's going to be the entire focus of today. And then later on this week, we want you to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because later today, I'm going to be interviewing an expert who's going to come on and give an actual, after the full first day of operations of what's happened in Ukraine, she's going to give us an update about what she's seeing, what she's hearing, and what we can expect going forward. So look for that tomorrow on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed there. But for now, we're just going to get into the topics about how we're feeling about this terrible news that's coming out of Ukraine. Because we've gotten some DMs and notifications from different family members and how people are responding. Shit, I got one this morning. You know, it's all those types... When you're in Afghanistan, or when you're watching, like, what sports game usually has an AFN commercial in it? One of the Thanksgiving Day,
Super Bowl,
World Series, college football playoffs, those type of things, where they used to flash over into like Fallujah or Ramadi or Baghdad, and they would have a bunch of troops sitting in a cafeteria hanging out and be like, "Hey, I'm from Ohio. Go Ohio State. Let's go Buckeyes."
Right.
They had the same type of thing. Folks are in Poland, like, waiting for this to kick off. And there was a video from a unit that was like, "Hey, we're from this unit. We love Temple University." I was like, is this the time to be giving local university shout outs? Let's just wait until things calm down a little bit, till we know what American involvement is. And as we're recording right now, it's 12:10, and we still don't know, or it's 12:10 Central Time. We don't really know what President Biden is going to say, what he's going to have to offer. We do have some ideas of what's going on in the UK and other NATO countries. It's scary. It's a scary, scary world. And it's one of those times where you see people talk about it on social media, where they mention doomsday scrolling. And that's essentially what it was last night. And yeah. I think Putin and his mental mastermind games that he likes to play did it intentionally to fuck with Americans too a little bit. Having the invasion go down at 4 a.m. in Ukraine time was around 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock here. So we're all staying up. The rest of the world is staying up and watching what was happening. As the videos were rolling in, there's different organizations, different big military social media accounts like OIFN Nation that was putting out stuff. There's another account called Atlas that was putting out videos that I was seeing in real time as it was happening minutes later. Remarkable stuff that's happening that we have the chance to see. But we also see some terrible things, some terrible, terrible things. And Kate, I know you've been paying close attention, Cons. I'm sure you have as well. Kate, what's sticking out so far to you as we are in the early hours of Russia's invasion of the Ukraine?
Well, first of all, I mean, just kind of the suddenness with which, like, I feel like deep down we all had this hope, like, Putin's just Putining again. Putin's just right. Doing classic Putin shit. Oh, they're bringing some troops to the border. Classic poking everybody with a stick, Putin, whatever. And there was this Twitter thread that really struck me last night. Nolan Peterson, he writes for Coffee or Die. He is a U.S. Air Force special ops pilot who's been in the Ukraine since 2014. So he too, he's there. And last night he tweets, because people kept saying every day, is today the day? Is today the day? And finally last night he tweeted, something bad is in the air tonight. We're under a national emergency. Airports are shutting down. Military reserves have been called up. I lack the talent to express what it feels like to be in this European capital, home to millions, and feel a chill that has nothing to do with the cold as we brace for a distant madman's wrath. It's just unreal and unbelievably tragic. I'm sitting here waiting to hear booms of missiles and bombs. I'm sitting here waiting for the lights to go off and my links to the outside world to go dead. I'm sitting here thinking about all my friends across this country and on the front lines. I'm sitting here wondering what a parent tells a child on a night like this. I'm sitting here wondering what our world is going to look like when the sun comes up a few hours from now. He goes on a little bit, but I felt like that spoke to probably what most Ukrainians were feeling in that moment. You could feel in the air, and just scrolling online, like you could tell, the US diplomat was like, basically said, like, it's about to go down. And then almost immediately after that, I saw another account say Putin's giving an emergency speech right now. Like pretty much as soon as Nolan Peterson's thread ended, Putin started giving an emergency speech, which many believe was pre-recorded Monday, whatever, classic Putin. But he said, we've decided to launch special military action. And to NATO, he said, we're ready for all outcomes. All our decisions have been made. And then only minutes after that, and he said, the speech is over. Only minutes after that, Nolan Peterson started tweeting again. And he said, explosions in Kyiv. Good God, it's actually happening. And that's when all of a sudden, all these different reports, because I'm sure like you guys, like we follow, as soon as we started seeing this was really picking up, I started following journalists and civilians and people from all over Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like in like 6 or 7 different cities, things began popping up, explosions at multiple different airports. And the videos that have come out since, the ones that have specifically really struck with me are videos taken by civilians in their homes. Mm-hmm. Of the one that sticks out most is a Russian fighter jet down at the level of a 2-story building going through a civilian neighborhood. And you can see it sounds like a mother huddled with her kids watching it, and she's filming it. The jet's coming, and all of a sudden they didn't expect this. The jet releases fucking missiles into the neighborhood, and it explodes, and the kids start screaming, and the camera starts going fuzzy as she runs her kids downstairs. And I think it's difficult for us because all of our wars have been fought on foreign soil in our time. It's so difficult to put yourself in their shoes and imagine, but I really sat there and tried to imagine what that would feel like sitting in my apartment with my son and looking out the window and seeing fighter jets going through my neighborhood. There's videos from the hilltop seeing the Russian helicopters, like 20 of them, 30 of them approaching over these towns. And it just chills you to the core. Billy Football had this tweet that he said, we are literally watching the 1939 invasion of Poland right now. And I know. And then he said, that's pretty alarmist. The similarities are different, I know, but it's almost like we're watching this crazy thing from the past unfolding, but we're getting to see it in real time. And it's just, I cannot put my phone down. I have friends that normally don't follow any military stuff at all, who just regular civilian jobs always. And they're like, we cannot stop looking at the footage from this. It's insane. It's wild to see. So yeah.
Cons, what about you? The first 12 hours, how are you feeling?
A little unnerved, because to Kate's point, in my head, I was thinking, yeah, this is just Putin posturing as he's wont to do, and something will get figured out. And that's the optimist in me, obviously thinking that we could find some sort of diplomatic resolution to this. But then you take a step back further and you remember Putin's a madman through and through. He is, yeah, not rational. And anyone who thinks they're inside his head and they understand what he's thinking is lying to you. I don't believe that anybody anywhere on social media, on the news, can come to any other conclusion than that he's somebody that we cannot predict. So at this point, we have to treat all scenarios as possible. And unfortunately, that came in the form of those explosions and that attack that happened last night. And
not even just that, Cons. When Putin's given this address that Kate alluded to earlier, he also mentions that if anybody from the West or any other countries that aren't directly involved, that they will see retribution, the likes that which we have never seen before, or that we've never seen in US or in history. So I think that is adding to
nuclear. And basically we all took that as he's talking about nuclear war.
Right. And they had the most warheads of anybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that really quick that stood out to me is Russian riot police had to tell protesters to disperse in Moscow. Russians on, I don't know, you know, what.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. Let's keep going with the timeline a little bit. Because they had, there's two things that I really wanted to say. One, this is obviously a calculated event that's happening. This is not a spur of the moment. It's not a peacekeeping mission. All those things that Putin has said it is are completely false. And everybody with a fucking functional brain knows it. They know that giving, telling Putin that Russia or that Ukraine is never going to be involved in NATO. They're saying, why didn't you do that? Because that would have stopped it. No, it wouldn't have stopped it. He had all of his troops on the border of Ukraine ready to go in. And that's what was going to happen. It was inevitable. All of the shit that we've talked about, military intelligence and U.S. intelligence over the past 2 years, and rightfully so, with what's happened in Ukraine, what's happened in Syria, what's happened really around the globe, we've missed the boat a lot. U.S. intelligence nailed this every step of the way about how this was going to happen, what they were going to do. The sad part is that you have groups like NATO and you and the UN who really feel feckless and toothless right now in what they're doing. I feel like the moment the first tank leaves the demarcation line, you have to have swift and heavy sanctions. You can't wait to see what the cost of life is. You have to cripple their economy instantaneously. You have to have it in a way where all these oligarchs, all the billionaires that live in Russia, really live in UK and Germany and Brussels and shit like that, and the nice spots in Europe, where they are the ones that are going to have to feel the heat and go back to Putin and be like, you got to stop this shit. I don't know how that happens, if it's going to happen. One thing that has to happen is we have to be united. The rest of the world has to be united against Russia. And I feel like we say that, and it almost comes off as a little bit cliche. And one point that I wanted to make of what Kate was talking about seeing the children and fighting on your own land. Honest to God, this morning, I felt really guilty. And I felt guilty because I think back, and I hate to tie in a current tragedy about what we experienced. I did that to people. Like I did that to people. Like there was times where I rolled in with other men, heavy guns, heavy equipment, and rolled through streets and saw women and children fleeing and crying.
Yeah,
that was us.
That really just hit home, because I'm thinking back now to all those villages I walked through. And to me, I was in the middle of an armed conflict. To them, it was Tuesday. It was Wednesday. It was any other day of their lives that was disrupted by what was going on a larger scale across the country. And I think it's easy for a lot of folks here in America to make the jokes on social media, to posture one way or the other. But I think what would be so important or effective would be if everyone just kind of like turned off the news channel, stopped trying to like parrot your favorite talking head with their talking points, just take the facts as they are and form your own opinion.
But like, that's impossible to do. I
know.
And I understand that that's the guy that you are. You are a very positive person who wants to look. You can't, there is no place to look for the right news without talking.
I'm not talking about the right news. I'm just talking about like, if I just put this to you on paper, a crazy man ordered his army to invade another country for no real reason. How would you feel about that? And then like, cause it's these people who are like trying to defend it or turn it and spin it. And that's just so exhausting. What this guy is doing, and to your point, Chaps, about the whole world coming together, it should be very easy for everybody to come together and denounce what is going on right now, because it's inherently wrong.
Yeah, and I think the denouncing is one thing, but you have to have some teeth there. There has to be something that you could do to Putin, and that's what they really have to figure out, and it's going to be smarter people than us to figure out how to do that. I am very encouraged by some of the news reports that I have seen from folks like Dan LaMoth and others who are very, very in the know about what's going on and have high-level defense sources and things like that much more than we do. I would say there's been reports that an entire Russian platoon turned themselves in and essentially surrendered and said that we didn't realize that our mission was going to be to kill Ukrainians. We don't want to kill Ukrainians. We thought it was just going to be an intel gathering mission. We don't want to do that. Ukrainians are giving them a fucking hell of a fight in a lot of areas too. Mm-hmm. Like they're using javelins. They're using their weapons that they have. And remember, it is much more difficult to go into a country and attack it than it is to defend it. Like you to defend it, you have everything, you know where everything is. You know the layout of their land. You see some of that reports going on in Kyiv right now with the airport that they're trying to take. And they essentially did, Cons, you'll understand this reference. I'm not sure if Kate will, but maybe she does, Katie Sports. They essentially ran what amounts to a screen pass at the airport where they let the Russians come in and try to attack. They didn't take any casualties. It was just like the offensive line opening it up and everybody comes in. And then as soon as the Russian forces took that airport, they blew it to shit with their own artillery and took out a bunch of the Russians that were there with it. Like there are things that they're doing. This is not a helpless group of people. Ukrainians are strong. They've been fighting for centuries. Their president, who grandfather was killed in the Holocaust in a concentration camp, he comes out and says that we are going to fight tooth and nail every step of the way. Any person that's from the age of 16 to 60, if you want a weapon, we'll get you one. You can fight in the streets. For years, they've been training civilians how to clear houses, how to protect themselves and shit like that, because they knew that they had Russia on the border ready to do this type of stuff. I think there's a lot of doom and gloom around Ukraine, but don't count those people short. I mean, you could look at it in what we did. We went into Afghanistan and tried to push our superpower on them. They own the land. They know the land. They love the land.
We were bigger. For their freedom. We were stronger. We had more whatever. But
same thing when we fucked up the Redcoats. Yeah.
The people didn't want it. And they, and in the end,
they stood up. And hopefully they won't have to stand up long. I feel like there is a time where you stand up and you defend yourself, but you need some strong folks in the corner. And if you don't have that, like President Biden's got to come out and do some heavy, heavy shit. And I'm not sure if how much the world is ready to stomach that, but it's, you have
to. I'm just going to say, you know, to one side of that argument, I was thinking about this and I think it was Thomas Hobbes. He was like, covenants without the sword are of no use to any man. And basically saying like, you can have all these sanctions, I think, in place and say you're going to do things and have these resolutions that we're going to slap Putin on the wrist, but it might be, and again, I don't know if everybody has the stomach for it, but it might be the UN putting some actual forces together and arming them on these borders to physically stand up, because I agree that the sanctions are necessary and that will hurt the folks beyond just Putin, the folks that are probably pulling a lot of the strings behind the scenes in Russia, financial sanctions. But, you know, there's the argument that needs to be made that some physical force beyond just the amazing Ukrainians who have this resolve to fight and defend themselves, that they could use some assistance, I think, and it would go a long way.
Well, it looks like, you know, the news keeps updating, but NATO has announced like, yes, we are mobilizing, maybe a little slow for people who are on the ground in Ukraine, but they are mobilizing, and other countries in NATO surrounding the area are saying, yep, we're working it out. We'll be there soon. So I don't know what it's going to look like. And speaking again about Chaps talking about the Ukrainian people fighting, we watched a video earlier today of a father saying goodbye to his kids. Like people are saying goodbye to their kids, sending them off, and they're staying behind to fight. You don't do that unless you are willing. I mean, it is gut wrenching to watch. You don't do that unless you're willing to die for your country and to never see your children again. Like that's a will to fight that I think Russia is wildly underestimating.
And you're seeing those types of emotions in varying ways, which is the human condition. You're seeing some, and I experienced it when I was driving, and I'm so far removed from being a Ukrainian, I don't know what that's like, but I do know that what it's like to look in the face of evil and want to not be a part of that and want to fight that with every fiber that you have. And that's what's happening there. You have, you're having people that are willing to fight, but you're also having people that are immensely scared and terrified about what's going to happen to them and their future. Look, we were talking before we started recording, Nick mentioned having a baby. Like, there are certain things that when you have kids, when you have experiences as a veteran, like what you've gone through in your life really impacts how you view the rest of the world. And I cannot imagine not wanting to fight there, but I also understand and am gutted for some of the families, or all of the families there. I was listening to NPR this morning, I believe it was NPR, and they were flashing back and forth from different cities around Ukraine. So I haven't even been able to find the clip I want to, but there was a group, a family. It was a mother, three children, and she also had her pets there. And the interpreter was telling, you could hear a soldierly type voice saying, move, get out of the way, get out of here, go. And he was saying, he's telling her to usher out and go find someplace safe to be. And she screams back over and over again, where do we go to die? Where do we go to die? Where do we go to die? And I just thought, bringing your children and your pets and your only question is, where do I go to die? Is such a horrible, horrible plight to have.
Yeah. And then I saw another report from a CNN reporter, Clarissa Ward. She was talking to Ukrainians, and the person said, where is the world? Why is the world not coming to our rescue? How is it possible that in 2022 you can launch an invasion on a European country and nobody seems to be able to put a stop to it? And it's just that fear and that helplessness that should, if anyone's listening, you should break your heart that these innocent people are just the result of Putin wanting I'm not even going to speculate why he ultimately wants to do it. Because as I said earlier, getting inside that man's head is impossible for anybody, but it just really hits home when you think about all of these innocent people.
Yeah. Another update too, that was kind of more recent, right before we recorded this episode, Chernobyl, the power plant fell to the Russians. Not that there was like a, you know, but there was definitely a fight for the area. And then the Ukrainian Interior Ministry advisor said, one of the dangers of that is if there's a battle in that area, there is nuclear waste, radioactive nuclear dust that can be spread across Ukraine, Belarus, and other countries in the EU. So this, again, could affect everyone in very deep ways across Europe. So something else to keep an eye on there. I started talking about it too soon earlier. There's protests going on in Russia where they're saying like, what the fuck? And to come out publicly, like they had to send riot police in the capital to send people home. The wealthy, they have shut down in the UK. The Russian airlines cannot go there. If you're super rich and you're in Russia and you're trying to dip out now, pretty much your options are narrowing. A lot of the big finance agencies here, like I heard from somebody who said they have been instructed not to, the business is being cut off.
They've been cut off from the SWIFT system. And for those who don't, the SWIFT system is basically the ability over there to allow money to change hands, to wire money back and forth to various institutions and individuals.
Well, do you think, because Russia, I mean, these oligarchs and all this stuff is going to come down on them, these sanctions, do you think Putin I'm sure he expected it, I guess, but
yes, but I'm not sure if he expected some of his own soldiers to be like, we don't want any part of this.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of what's going on, because there's also been plenty of reports to be like, the Russians are our brothers. Like, we have lineages that go back families and generations where we're all tied together. How could you possibly do this to what could amount to like part of your own people, like going back way to, and we're all humans and we're all tied together in that way too. But I think that you're right, Kate. I don't think that Putin expected them to be as vocal right away. And I found a Twitter thread about that from a dude named Max Sidon. And he says, he goes through a list of a bunch of their high-end celebrities. And I know that people are like, oh, what would Hollywood mean? There, I think it does mean something. And I think when you have people that are vocally stepping out, because if you step out in Russia and you go against the Russian regime, it's not like fucking Susan Sarandon going off at the Golden Globes. Like, you could be in some real shit. Just ask Pussy Riot. They spent years in prisons in and out because of what they did and their stances of what they took. So many different celebrities, like the guy who they say is the Russian version of Stephen Colbert. He said, fear and pain, no to war. There's so many of their celebrities and their really important folks, their influencers, I guess, for lack of a better word. And not that they're out there doing like TikTok dances and shit, but people who mean something to Russian society, they're saying, we don't want this. And that's how somebody like Putin gets stopped, because if it's oligarchs, if all the billionaires are no longer behind them, if they're losing all of their yachts, there's people clamoring for President Biden to strip all of the different penthouses that they have in Miami and New York and Chicago and LA and San Diego. Take all of those. You can't have them anymore. All your kids that are going to private schools across the world. Nope. No, they're not. They got to go back to Russia. Every single one of the rich people take every dime that they have. And we talked about it a little bit before we started recording. Their currency is already down 40% in just a few hours, 40%. Germany's is down 6%. Always, when it's a global conflict, money matters. And I think if you can destroy their economy for the rich folks there, and it affects the European bottom line too, this is still a capitalistic world. And I think that that is going to ultimately matter more, sadly, than the lives that will be lost.
Yeah, you're right. That's the way to affect some sort of swift change. And I think it's important to note too, like with that thread, I read that thread that you mentioned. There's this belief, I think, that just Russians are bad. It's like black and white.
Oh, because of movies, dude. I mean, exactly. Fuck, we've all seen Behind Enemy Lines.
Yes, we've seen Behind Enemy Lines.
I think that's a Chechnya, though.
That was the Balkans, I think. We've seen Rocky IV. You know, we have this belief in our head that everybody from Russia is a terrible, ugly person. And you see with some of those quotes with these people saying, we don't want this from our country. We're proud to be from Russia, but we don't want to impose our will on this other country just because of whatever
reason. I am sure there's a ton that do.
Don't get me wrong. Right. But I think it's important to point out that not everybody wants this, because that's the other thing I was thinking about too. Think about this. If you put two bowls in front of every person on this planet, regardless of country, yes, ice cream. And the one flavor of ice cream was war, and the other flavor of ice cream was peace. I think by and large across the globe, people would pick peace. Like, I don't think there's a lot of people out there that want war just in general. So
I think a lot of times your perspective is like reading a Pinterest quote board.
I'm serious. So you
the
really
most
think
pie in the I'm sky not- guy. I love it, Con. It's something that I can set my watch to it like clockwork. Something terrible's happened and be like, look, guys, we still have an education. There's something to look at. There's still some bright
side. I'm serious. I know there are people out there that are like, oh yeah, cool war. But I just think most people.
Yeah, dude, look at our fucking comments conflicts on Instagram. These people they're wanting to go. And another quick ad read before we move on. Make sure that if you need some new boots, go to Rocky Boots. Rocky Boots builds boots for the men and women that serve and protect the country. Designed and built in the U.S. for each individual branch of the military. Most recently has gone side by side with the Marine Corps. Not only does Rocky Boots make the best boots for our service members, they are awesome boots for in between times where you're goofing in your yard, you're doing whatever. Go to rockyboots.com and enter the promo code ZBT at checkout for 25% off your next purchase. Because as you know, whenever you're doing a little bit of military operations, you need some good boots. Change your socks, eat some Motrin, and get some Rocky Boots. And ours is usually pretty calm for military pages. Like, ours is pretty calm for the comments. I log in, I'm like, good Lord. Like, do you know what it means? Like, I said last night, like, what would you like to happen here? What do I think that we're going to turn Russia into a glass parking lot? Like, I fucking hope not. Those are people, man. Like,
right.
Is this going to be like Hiroshima and Nagasaki? No, dude, I fucking hope not. Like, I've been to those museums and seen some of the stuff that's happening. No, like, we don't want that. I don't want war ever.
Right. I mean, it is inevitable sometimes, but yes, that's my point. Ultimately, if we can avoid it, let's do that.
One other thing I know we've already talked about, but as you guys are talking, I keep kind of, because this is going on as we're talking, mm-hmm. there's more and more updates happening. Mm-hmm. It's night now.
Yeah. There's going to be so many news stories that come out after we record.
Mm-hmm. Those protests that I'm talking about, 44 cities across Russia, the images coming out now from Moscow are incredible. Over 1,000 have been detained. I mean, the streets are filled with people, and that gives me a little bit of hope. But again, then you think about how irrational Putin is, you know, it doesn't matter. So, and also something to note, so far, the Ukrainian health minister has stated that 57, both civilian and military, have been killed in Ukraine so far in this initial invasion. Another thing that I was seeing, and to give people kind of an idea too, we use them for stories all the time, Task and Purpose. Their Instagram has been really great at keeping up with what's been going on. Shout out Kyle. There is a map that kind of breaks it down. If you look at Ukraine as a whole, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's 7 main spots, mostly along the top of the Ukraine, obviously where it touches Russia. But then I was kind of surprised to see, of course, down at the bottom too. So it's like kind of goes around the top of the right side and the bottom of Ukraine.
Yeah, where they had originally said at the bottom part where they were like, oh, there was an amphibious landing. No, there wasn't.
No, there wasn't. And there's a lot of misinformation coming out too. There's photos of blurred. Look at all these Ukrainian bodies strewn alongside the road. And then it was actually a military commander said, don't believe everything you see. The blur is removed and it's just garbage. Mm-hmm. It's just trash. Another thing, there's just all sorts of videos coming out that they're saying XYZ. And it turns out, oh, this is from some other war. This is from not even from this country. So be really careful about everything before I retweet or share on ZBT. We try to find the original source and really make sure that that's actually what's happening.
Except for one lady. I didn't do it, Kate. And I wrote a blog about it, but I stick behind it because it's one of the best quotes I've ever heard.
Right.
There was a lady that went across the street to meet, she's a Ukrainian, and she went across the street to meet a Russian soldier who was standing there, full battle rattle, ready to go. And she walks up to him and apparently, from what the translation is, says, here, I would like to give you some sunflower seeds. So when we kill you on Ukrainian soil, you'll grow some sunflowers.
Oh my goodness.
I love it.
Yeah, your body will grow the sunflowers.
And honest to God, there's not Eastern Bloc women might be the scariest single group on the planet.
Different breed.
Like if you're Ukrainian women, dog. No way. I bet that soldier at the moment, even though he's standing there with a semi-automatic rifle, I bet he thought, I'm about to grow some fucking sunflower seeds. They're going to kill me. I legitimately believe them.
Yo.
And I want to give one caveat before we continue. We are going to ramble on this show.
Yeah, sorry.
One, because I'll speak for myself. I don't have the intellectual capability to maintain a clean timeline for international events that I can't wrap my head around historically. I can't. Like I could try. I can read as much as I possibly can about everything that's going on. This is not something that will ever be in my expertise. I can, however, promise you that ZBT will always approach it from a level of humanity where how we would feel if we were doing these types of things, or how we're feeling watching this type of thing go on. We can't give you the ins and outs of foreign policy and all that shit.
But, you know, I feel like listening to this, if you look at it like an art piece, it's kind of like I like it. This is like if you look at the news right now, it's fucking scrambled. Everybody's everywhere. Even the press. So is I feel like
you're trying to find what's happening in a global event across multiple international countries while reading a news bulletin like you would be watching porn in 1987 with the squiggly lines.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And you're just hoping to get a real nipple of news every now and then.
Yeah, and then just don't be the person too that, you know, thinks they are the expert and purports to know everything, because you don't. You certainly
are. Aware what podcast you're on, Con? That's what we do all the time.
Yeah, we pretend. It's a little pretender be game.
Pretend to be expert.
Yeah.
That's the entire premise of this show. You were a captain. I was a staff sergeant. She was a corporal. We don't know shit.
Couple but new
I appreciate
things.
That people come to us for
yeah, because they don't know shit either. And they want to hear other people that have their same kind of thoughts that talk about it like you would in your platoon room. Like that's what this is about. This ain't a G level office chat.
Mm-mm. Right.
Mm-mm. Couple, speaking real quickly. Yeah. Protest. There's even one going on. A buddy of mine, he's of Ukrainian descent. There's one in New York City today outside the Russian embassy. So that's why it's hitting home here.
And I do feel for people because I've gotten a bunch of mentions or a bunch of DMs about it. And I bet you guys have too. What can we do to help Ukraine? And
that's a great question.
I have no idea.
Red Cross and stuff like that is like your best real bet right now. I mean, once those types of things start coming out, we'll definitely disseminate that information too.
Also, don't be a fucking moron saying Putin's a badass online and whatnot. Tulsi Gabbard.
Right.
I'll Lieutenant say it. Colonel? Being a little bit of a dumb bitch, man, with all due respect.
That's two shows in a row. We've called somebody a dumb bitch. I feel like
we got to call bring men. That back. We got to start calling more men.
We'll call them say dicks, it to bastards. Too. We'll call them all kinds of stuff too. But listen, you're calling kids fucking acne fuckers and you're calling them racial slurs, or if you're giving credit to Putin, we are going to call you a dumb bitch.
We're going to call you a dumb bitch.
Well, that's to my point earlier. Like, take the step back and just take all of this stuff at the face value and what's happening. And I don't think anyone with two brain cells to rub together would come to the conclusion that Putin is anything but a crazy madman and you need to denounce what's happening right now.
Yeah. But this is a dumb question. Do you really think she's like, they're feeding her what to say? Like, it seems like she's got to be like,
I'm an educated man, Kate Mannion, but I can't travel on that.
Yeah.
No, I think honestly, all these crazy politicians, they're all like, they're playing the politics game. Like, oh, what is my talk track right now that's going to get me in good with my base that is on social media regurgitating all of this nonsense?
No, I think it's not getting her in good. It's not going well for her. But I
go ahead, Kate.
You go ahead.
I feel like there's a lot of contrarian takes that go on just to be contrarian, to make it seem like you're the smartest person in the room.
Yes.
To me, that is Tulsi Gabbard's entire brand, is I want to act like I'm the smartest person in the room. And she is not. So I feel like that's what happens there.
You don't always have to outthink the room. Sometimes it's simple. Bad man doing a bad thing. End of story.
Speaking of, so on, you know, what's Biden, what is the U.S. doing about all this? One, Biden has been presented with options for massive, as we know, Russia launched a bunch of cyber attacks against Ukraine. He's been presented with a bunch of options to fuck Russia up with cyber war. So maybe physically we're not heading there at the moment, but definitely our little cyber bubbas that maybe goofed on a couple of years ago might be pretty badass right now. So that's a pretty big deal. I think the number one attack that we're going to launch is Newman from Jurassic Park. All the Russian computers are going to be going, So
that would work.
Also, Biden has pledged to avoid world war. So what a relief, you know, take that at face value. But can I get more into what's going on with our troops?
Yes.
A little bit. Okay. Thank you. This is from the Washington Post, who had.
Hold on, before we do that, we have some business to take care of, and this show is presented to you by our good friends at Whistlepig. I'm not going to go into a full out ad read. Whistlepig, I hope you understand. You're a fantastic product. Thank you for being the presenting partner all year. I'll do an extra long ad read on for you guys. I feel like you should understand, and that you will understand. This is a big deal. You might want to sit one out and have a Whistlepig at the end of the night after dealing with stressful news all day. Kate, you wanted to go into how some of the service members are feeling. What are you seeing on that front?
Yeah, well, so I was wondering, what does this mean for our troops? And I was thinking, like, as this going down, again, I got a lot of messages last night. You were talking about this brought up a lot of feelings, like seeing this happening again and everything so soon. I was getting messages last night from Iraq and Afghanistan veterans being like, man, this brings back some memories. And I was thinking about all the families here in the U.S. who have troops deployed in Eastern Europe last night going, oh my God, where is my son or daughter going to be tomorrow or the next day or the next day? Like, what is going on?
And I think it's even worse in that area of the world where most Americans have legitimately zero idea where it lies on a map. Like Poland, Chechnya, Czechoslovakia, Ukraine, Yugoslavia, all of those countries are essentially the same in most of our brains.
It's just like, where are those? Oh, they're over there. They're just over there. That's about the extent of it.
So the Washington Post had a good who, what, where, when, why breakdown of what's going on right now. Again, this is from a few hours ago. Things could probably have changed, but this is the latest that I have. Already this week, we sent a bunch more stuff to we sent a lot of stuff to Eastern Europe. Fighter jets, attack helicopters, infantry troops. We bolstered it in this past week. We sent a lot more. these additional personnel are being repositioned to reassure our NATO allies, deter any potential aggression against NATO member states, and train with host nations. So we're backing up these NATO states. Why is the US willing to deploy troops in Eastern Europe, but not in Ukraine? In short, obligations. And this is interesting, because a lot of people had a lot of questions about this. Like, why are we not doing something more? In the aftermath of World War II, the US, Canada, and several allies in Western Europe obviously started up NATO. NATO expanded for years from 12 nations in 1949 to 30 today. It's grown to include former Soviet republics, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, and this has pissed off Putin. Other former Soviet states, notably Georgia and Ukraine, have sought membership, but their applications have languished, in part because allowing them to join would require the rest of NATO to defend them against Russia. So,
and I hate UN. The UN is, I don't know if I should say I hate UN, because I'm sure they do a bunch of good shit.
Yeah.
I was fucking furious last night because there's certain things in government that I hate, like parliamentary procedure. The fact that parliamentary procedure can derail what the entire world wants to do is insanity. Like the fact that last night you had the Russian ambassador from the Russian Federation ambassador to the Ukraine or to UN was talking and was saying, we still believe in peace. We're going to have a peacekeeping mission. As bombs were actively dropping on Ukraine, Ukraine is sitting there looking the dude dead ass in the face. And we're going to use this sound, actually. Here's the sound of what happened of this Ukrainian ambassador. It's chilling.
Because about 48 minutes ago, your president declared the war on Ukraine. So now I would like to ask the ambassador of the Russian Federation to say on the record that at this very moment, your troops do not shell and bomb Ukrainian cities, that your troops do not move in the territory of Ukraine. You have a smartphone. You can call Lavrov right now. We can make a pause to let you go out and call him. If you are not in a position to give an affirmative answer, the Russian Federation ought to relinquish responsibilities of the President of the Security Council, pass these responsibilities on to a legitimate member of the Security Council, a member that is respectful of the Charter, and I ask the members of the Security Council to convene an emergency meeting immediately and consider all necessary draft decisions to stop the war. Because it's too late, my dear colleagues, to speak about de-escalation. Too late. The Russian president declared the war on the record. Should I play the video of your president? Ambassador, shall I do that right now? Or you can't confirm it? Do not interrupt me, please. Thank you.
Then don't ask me questions when you are speaking. Proceed with your statement.
Anyway, you declared the war. It is the responsibility of this body to stop the war. So I call on every one of you to do everything possible to stop the war. Or should I play the video with your president declaring the war?
There is no purgatory for war criminals. They go straight to hell, Ambassador.
So he's sitting there saying, how can they have a seat at the table when they are actively going against what this entire organization is for? Like the UN and NATO is to prevent large-scale war from ever happening again on the European continent. And now that's happening. And they're saying, how do they have a vote? And Russia sitting at the top of the Security Council. Like they're the one. How do like you should
doesn't
be
make sense.
Every other one of the G7 countries should be able to say, Russia, take your shit, get the fuck out, and we're gonna blow you up. Like exactly. It should be that simple. But instead, you have all these other issues, which I'm sure there's a bunch of lawyers who are way smarter than us that can figure out the reason actually why. But it seems to be that there has to be a more common sense approach. And all across the globe, we've lost common sense in every single aspect possible.
Yeah. It just with NATO, it just feels like they're an all-star team without any chemistry. They're all just kind of, you know, going in their own direction and trying to prop up their own agendas. It's like Herb Brooks said, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right players. Like we need to come together on the correct
Cons would like to redraft NATO and find better.
But basically, I would like to put NATO back together.
Somebody said something good too. As NATO grows, Putin gets more and more pissed and uses that as an excuse for being a piece of shit. Somebody made up a good point though. Well, if he takes over Ukraine, because he's like, well, I need Ukraine in my sphere of influence to keep NATO away. Well, if you take over Ukraine, you'll be right next to several NATO members, but neither here nor there. How many US troops are deployed in Europe and why? Even in peacetime, the Pentagon's presence across Europe is vast. More than 90,000 US troops are on the continent or sailing near it already. Before, so that's something to remember. I feel like the news makes it sound like we've only got like 5,000 troops over there because they recently got deployed.
So
there's 800 bases or outposts that are manned by the United States in Europe. 800.
Right. We've got 90,000 in the area, 35,000 in Germany alone. The military relationships across the continent are driven in part by deals established in the liberal world order, a framework established after World War II. What has the army done in recent days? Among the first steps the U.S. military took was deploying several thousand from the 82nd Airborne in Fort Bragg to Poland. The Pentagon also deployed a unit of about 1,000 soldiers operating Stryker armored combat vehicles this month from Germany to Romania, where they joined about 900 other U.S. troops who were already there. A smaller company of soldiers numbering more than 100 are in Bulgaria. The moves announced by the Pentagon this week escalate weapons and all sorts of stuff arriving to the, like I said, stuff. There's a lot of stuff, but we're probably sending just ass loads.
And the javelins are effective. They're the ones that are taking out the tanks. I mean, there's been videos of the tanks essentially completely destroyed from a javelin. So that's basically where we're at. That's where we're sitting right now. I don't want to draw this out and do a lot of speculation and shit like that. And I'm sure that you all are paying attention to the news too, but that's where we are. Hopefully on Tuesday when we come back, and if something insane happens, we'll have special episodes or smaller things to keep you informed. We are going to be on top of this every single step of the way as best we possibly can. If you're seeing stuff, send it. Like, we are definitely relying on the baby girls for this too. Like, you guys are going to need to send us stuff that you're seeing if it's interesting, or if you're getting things from your commands that are giving you some updates about how training schedules are going to change or what you're looking at. We'd love to hear that so we have a better scope of what's going on. Other than that, stay safe, be good to each other. Try not to be a dick online. Like, there's really, we're always fucking kind of snarky and doing all that kind of shit. The world is in a stressful place. People are in a stressful place. Be kind to each other. Please. Yeah. Sound the retreat.